Okay, as we continue in our study in the practice of godliness in chapter 12 of faithfulness, we continue in our series on the faithfulness of God to his people. And then I sent out our email noting the various scripture verses that we're going to touch on. And I asked the question, is God talking to you? Is God talking to me? In other words, is God talking to his people? Or are these just nice stories about somebody else? I hear preachers state how the Old Testament points to Jesus. And then I also hear them that the New Testament points back to Jesus. So as I hear those things, you know, I'm always pondering things and I'm going, where's the verses that point to the current Jesus? Where are the verses that point to the future Jesus? It's funny because there's just that slight mentality that it all happened so long ago that there's just a slight situation where we have a tendency to think that this might not have anything to do with us. So let's open up Deuteronomy chapter 30. You know, it's funny, I try to send out things midweek so that you'll have something to look at, and I'm telling you, Saturday morning when I get up and I start looking at this and I'm thinking, I don't know if we're really going to be covering what I sent out in the email in midweek, because it's just incredible when I start reading and praying and thinking and asking questions, the stuff that I'll be honest with you, sometimes, for those of you who have watched National Treasure, when they finally follow all their maps and they go into that treasure room and they're just like, you know, what do we look at next, or what do we touch next, or what do we haul out of here next? I'm telling you, there's some times that I've felt like I've been in the treasure room of God and I don't know where to go next, because I'm just so overwhelmed with what his word is showing, revealing. So, verse 1, chapter 30, Deuteronomy. And it shall come to pass, when all these things are come upon thee, the blessing and the curse which I have set before thee, and thou shalt call them to mind among all the nations whither the Lord thy God hath driven thee. We have to stop at verse 1. And the reason why we have to stop at verse 1 is because it talks about all these things are come upon thee, the blessing and the curse which I have set before thee. So I'm going, okay, so what's that information? So, we'd have to go back to chapter 28 and also 29. So let's go back to 28. And we're not going to read all this because 28 is a monstrous chapter. But it's interesting. 28 verse 1 says, and it shall come to pass. Exact same words that we saw used in 30 verse 1. If thou shalt hearken diligently unto the voice of the Lord thy God, to observe and to do all his commandments which I command thee this day, that the Lord thy God will set thee on high above all nations of the earth. So, chapter 28 says it shall come to pass if. It says the people hearken diligently to the voice of the Lord to observe and to do and to keep and to walk. So if we are to read through verse 14, we will see all the blessings that are going to be afforded for the if of the people hearkening unto the voice of the Lord. And then in verse 15, it says, but if it shall come to pass, if thou wilt not hearken unto the voice of the Lord, to observe, to do, to keep, to walk, from 16 through 68, the rest of the chapter describes the curse for not hearkening. I just thought that was kind of an interesting, I don't know, should I call it imbalance? You got roughly 13 verses talking about, here's how God is going to bless you. And then we've got, I don't know, doing the math here, 40, 50, almost 50 verses describing the curse. Wow. And then if we were to then go on and read chapter 29, it says, it is basically a review of what God has done and what God will do. Yes, Earl. Yes, it's like another review. Another review. But in chapter 29, I read something that I felt was very interesting. Let's go to verse 10. We're going to read through 15. Ye stand this day, all of you, before the Lord your God, your captains of your tribes, your elders, and your officers, with all the men of Israel, your little ones, your wives, thy strangers, that is in thy camp, from the hewer of thy wood unto the drawer of the water. You got your labor union camp there. That thou shouldest enter into covenant with the Lord thy God, and into his oath, which the Lord thy God maketh with thee this day, that he may establish thee together for a people unto himself, and that he may be unto thee a God, as he has said unto thee, and as he has sworn unto thy fathers Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, neither with you only do I make this covenant and this oath, but with him that standeth here with us this day before the Lord our God, and also with him that is not here with us this day. I just found that quite interesting. God says to these people, enter a covenant with me. And he says, neither just you who are actually standing here, you are actually hearing this. And he says that there's going to be him who is not here. So, keep that in mind. Because if you were to continue to read through chapter 29, you could read it and you're thinking, well, maybe that's discussing the curse part of his covenant to the people who are disobeying, because it references all the nations that they came out of, and it references how nasty those nations are and how they will lead you astray. But verse 14 says, I make this covenant an oath. That's how he started this whole thing, that he says, he's asking a people to be in covenant with him. You know, so as I read the rest of it, I'm sitting there thinking, could that really talk about all the quote-unquote unbelievers? Or is that referencing the big picture? So, hang on to that thought. So now let's go back to chapter 30. And I guess I would like to have some help reading it, because we have how many verses in chapter 30? Not too many. 20. So, we could divide it up in tens. Does somebody want to read 1 through 10, and then somebody can read 11 through 20? Okay, Meredith will do 1 through 10. All right. Yep, go ahead. Okay, thanks Meredith for reading 1 through 10. So Kathy, 11 through 20. All right. That's a lot of information. So in verse 1, he says, I am reviewing the blessing and the curse. And he says, I have set this before thee. And it says, thou shalt call them to mind among all the nations, whither the Lord thy God hath driven thee and is being scattered. And in verse 2 it says, and thou shalt return and obey. And in verse 3 and 4 it says, turn thou from your captivity, return, and you'll be gathered from all the nations. And then you'll be brought into a land, possess it, to do good and to multiply. Is this the gospel? So then I'm going to ask the question, if this is not the gospel, then what is the gospel? And it's funny, I'm going to bring up the radio stations again. And everybody's probably thinking, I am just a radio station hater. I am telling you all the time on the radio, I hear numerous iterations of 1 Corinthians 15:3. Where it says, Jesus died for our sins, was buried, and rose again. So the gospel I hear on the radio is that confess your sin, believe that Jesus died to pay for your sin, and that you will go to heaven. And once you have said that prayer, once you have made that confession, they're basically told, don't let anybody tell you any different. You are saved. Is that the gospel?
Ooh.
And I had to ask myself that question. Because as I was reading and rereading Deuteronomy 30, I'm going, the question that I asked you guys in the email is the same question I'm asking myself. It says, is this just a historic people that God's talking to? Or is he talking to me? And I'm thinking, is he talking to me because this is the gospel that he is talking to me about? So I had to ask myself the question, what is the gospel? So let's go to Mark. This is, I just found this so interesting. Mark chapter 1. Mark chapter 1. And we're going to read 1 through 15. Somebody want to read 1 through 7, and then somebody can read 8 through 15. Okay, Rick will do 1 through 7, and Earl will do 8 through 15. Nine, Earl. Okay, here's what totally blew me away. Let's do the math here. When Jesus said this, nobody knew anything about Jesus dying for their sin. Nobody. Those Jews just thought, maybe this is the Messiah who's going to throw out Rome and we're going to have our kingdom on earth. And then we're going to live happily ever after. Nobody's ever going to put us in captivity anymore and life is going to be good. Nobody knew that Jesus was there to die for their sin. But Jesus, right out of his mouth, says, Mark, right out of his mouth, at the beginning of Jesus' ministry, says, the beginning of the gospel of Jesus Christ. And then Jesus himself says, the time is here, the kingdom is at hand, repent and believe the gospel. What is, then, this good news that he was telling all these Jewish people to believe? He told them to repent. Now, if we go back to Deuteronomy chapter 30, and the same Hebrew word that is used in verse 1. Verse 1, the word call. Verse 2, the word return. The word in verse 3 and 4, it says turn and return. That word means to turn back. It means to return with your whole heart, mind, soul, and strength. What in the world does the word repent mean? To turn back, return from the way you were going, to turn back to the Lord. And what is the repetitive theme that Deuteronomy is telling us that we're to return back to? The repetitive theme is to diligently hearken unto the voice of the Lord, to do and to keep and to walk and to observe everything God has said. So, 1 Corinthians 15:3, I'm not saying that that's not a part, but it's not the whole story. And it's being proclaimed out there as if it is the whole story. What happened to Jesus in the beginning of his ministry when he got tempted by Satan? Satan was dropping scripture verses on him right and left. Partial scripture verses. So after Satan was done quoting all of his partial scripture verses, what was the very last thing Jesus said to Satan with all the partial scripture verses that he was quoting authoritatively? Jesus says, "Man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeds from the mouth of God." So in John chapter 10, when Jesus says, "My sheep hear my voice and follow me," that's the gospel. That's the good news. That is exactly what's being proclaimed here in Deuteronomy chapter 30. And it's exactly what is proclaimed by Jesus, that you hearken unto the voice of the Lord, and you will hear, do, observe, and walk. We get the benefit in the new covenant that God, through His grace, by His indwelling us with the Holy Spirit, that we can understand the whole picture. Not just part of the picture. Because what is the beginning of the gospel that Mark's talking about then? Who is Jesus referring to? Like when he said Isaiah, or the prophet Isaiah. When Jesus is having this conversation, he isn't pointing forward. He's pointing back to what they already knew. And he is telling them to repent and believe it. I just find that kind of incredible. Yeah, Earl, did you have something? No, the picture here is there's tremendous detail in Deuteronomy that describes you do X, Y, and Z and you're blessed, and you do 1, 2, 3, and you're cursed. That is, we have to ask ourselves, is that the pictures of works? Or is that the picture of faith? Because it's quite obvious the Bible reveals that if you are in Christ, that you will diligently hearken unto His voice. You will walk and talk and follow. This doesn't discuss how perfectly we're going to do it. And I don't think Deuteronomy is particularly saying you do this perfectly or else. It's a picture. The Old Testament is a picture of where people are going to land, because you're only going to land two places. In the blessing or in the curse. You're going to land in the good news or you're going to land in the bad news. Well, okay. Well, let me ask you this, Earl. Who's going to heaven that doesn't hearken unto the Lord? Yeah. Okay, and we'll keep talking about this. Which verse 6 in Mark? Oh yeah, I haven't even got there yet. I know. I haven't got there yet. I haven't got to Ephesians 1 yet either. Yeah. So, Earl, back to your question in regards to 28, 29, and 30, what it's revealing. I don't think it's revealing the hearken group, then becomes the not hearken group, then becomes the hearken group, and then becomes the non hearken group over a period of time. It is just revealing to this group of people. There's two groups here. Which one do you fit in? Are you the one who's going to hearken and follow and obey and love and keep? Because we haven't even looked at, I've been advertising love and keep verses for weeks here and even got to them yet. What camp, to use that kind of terminology for them in the desert, what camp are you going to be in? That's what 28, 29, and 30 is saying. If you see yourself in this camp, you're going to hearken diligently. You're going to observe. And it doesn't discuss the degree of perfection that the people are going to do that. Like we've discussed in the New Testament, in the Gospel. It's a pattern of life. It's a heart attitude. Hence the point Jim, like I said, I haven't even got to verse 6 yet. Hence the point Jim brought up. Everybody steal my thunder, but that's okay. That God did the work. And when God did the work, then we're in covenant with Him. Then we will see ourselves as diligently hearkening. And it's just like Jesus said in John 10, I keep always going back to this, that my sheep, speaking the work that's been done by the Father, my sheep hear my voice, and they follow me. And Greg's used, in fact, I found it kind of amusing when I walked downstairs today, there's pictures of sheep hanging in the foyer. Did anybody notice that? What's the point? Jeez, we're out of time. Okay. What's the point of a shepherd giving a command if the sheep is going to say, I'm taking a pass on that today? The picture of the shepherd speaking to the sheep is that the sheep hear him and the sheep obey him. The sheep will go where he goes. The sheep will do what he says. It is, I'm telling you, as you read the Old Testament, the gospel's there. Jesus is there. The things that is being revealed is always the two camps. Are you part of his people or not? And that's what we're going to talk about next time, because you just brought up the circumcision of the heart in verse 6, but we're going to go back to Genesis 17 and talk about the circumcision of something more personal and private. And I'm just going to be honest with you. We're going to talk about today. I'm thinking, how would I ever explain that to an unbeliever that would come up to me and go, what? What? What's all this attention? In a sense, to a man's privates. I mean, I'm actually saying what probably people think, but I find it kind of weird. And I've always thought, how would I ever explain that to somebody? We're going to talk about that next week. Because it has to do with the seed. So let's pray. Heavenly Father, we